And just hearing it, hearing the reading of the word, and I pray it'll be a blessing also to us as we consider this testimony of Hezekiah. But first I want to say a word of thanks to this congregation for your faithfulness, your love to us, and your support for us over all these years. Okay. That sound did work. Thank you. I appreciate your faithfulness and support for us all these years and the work there in Mexico. We're thankful. I also want to bring greetings to you in the name of first my mom and my dad, Walter and Betty Groover, and they're doing well, and they said to say hello to everyone. And also the pastors of the churches and school, they especially asked me to say hello to you, brother, and say hello to everyone that we appreciate you. And they also wanted to let you know that they pray for you also. So we're thankful for this time together. And I'm especially thankful for this opportunity to be here with you tonight and this opportunity to be here in the conference. And I thank you for that also. Now, tonight, let's open our Bibles there and Isaiah chapter 38, where we've just heard the reading of the word, and the title of the message is, By These Things Men Live. By These Things Men Live. And what are these things? Hezekiah said, By these things shall men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. That's in verse 16. But how is it that a man or woman is made to live before God? Do you have life before God tonight? You have life before God? How is it that you're made to live? How is it that we've been made to live before God? This man by the name of Hezekiah was made to live before God, and we have his testimony before us tonight. And it's a true and faithful saying. It's in his word. It's God's word to us. Let us consider then what's been revealed here. I want us to read this passage, and I will make a few observations as we go. But the message, again, you'll know, is in this verse 16. By these things men live. We see there in verse 1, it says, In those days was Hezekiah, king of Judah, sick unto death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came unto him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. First, this is a word of urgency. You're going to die. You're not going to live. It's a word of urgency. We are all going to die. It's appointed to man once to die and then the judgment. We're all going to die if the Lord does not return in these few days. These few days that we have left in this world, we're all going to die. And this word is sure to us. We don't have a promise of tomorrow. We don't have a promise of today is the day of salvation. Set your house in order. It is always important to set your material things in order. But how much more important is it to set the spiritual things in order? What I mean by that is what the Apostle Paul said, examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Do I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? This is to set your house in order. Remember, the Lord spoke of the bridegroom that comes in the middle of the night. And they were none expecting. They were none expecting the bridegroom, but he came. And to be ready. And to be ready is to know God. Whom to know. Know God in Jesus Christ. Whom to know is life everlasting. Life eternal. He that believeth in the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not is damned. He's condemned already because he's not believed on the only begotten Son. Well, we see here this word of urgency. Set your house in order because you're going to die and you're not going to live. This applies to every one of us. This applies to every one of us. We're to make this matter of urgency. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ today. Today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow is on the calendar of Satan. Tomorrow is you don't have a promise for tomorrow. And I don't have a promise for tomorrow. While he's near. While this message is being preached, if you hear and you've never heard before, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Look at verse 2 now. Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord. We see here how the Lord uses affliction to bring his children to himself. Hezekiah was a believer. Hezekiah was a believer, but in this affliction, he turned his face to the wall. He turned his face to the Lord Jesus Christ. He turned his face to him and prayed to him, Lord. He said, O Lord, I beseech thee. Now, when you read the rest of this, verses 3, to have an amplification of verse 3, or to understand what Hezekiah is saying in verse 3, we will read verses 9 through 14. One thing we're sure Hezekiah is not saying is he is not bargaining with the Lord. He's not saying, remember me because I did this, this, and that, and the other. He's not saying that. To have an amplification of what Hezekiah is saying here in verse 3, we have that in his testimony in verses 9 through 14. But he says, O Lord, I beseech thee. And he said, remember now, O Lord. Remember. Remember me. Remember me. The thief on the cross prayed that same thing. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. I beseech thee how I walk before thee in truth and in perfect heart, and I've done that which is good in thy sight. How is it that anybody can do that which is good in God's sight? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. What he's saying is, I believe. I believe. Lord, I believe. I believe. Now, it doesn't say so in this passage, but in the parallel passage in the Kings, it tells us that Isaiah was already walking outside of the, already out the temple. He was already out on the porch. And the word of the Lord came to Isaiah and said, go back to Hezekiah and tell him this word. So Isaiah comes back in before Hezekiah. And verse 4 says, then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, go and say to Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears, behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. Now here's the first thing we need to learn about this passage. And in the scriptures, men can twist things to their own destruction. But here's the first thing we need to know about this passage. God does not change. God does not change. And Hezekiah's prayer did not change God's mind and his purpose towards him. God says, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. God cannot change. So however we understand this, we're not to understand that God changed, because he cannot change. He does not change. There is no variableness or changing with him. I will say this, though. The Lord told him he was going to die. He didn't tell him when he was going to die, did he? He said, you're going to die. He didn't say, you're going to die tonight. Though in his expectation, he was going to die that night. In his own expectation, he thought, I'm going to die tonight. But he didn't tell him he was going to die that night. He said, you're going to die. And that's the same thing about you and I. We're going to die. We're always to live with that expectation. The Lord may come right now. And the end of this world to me is when the Lord comes. When the Lord comes. And he's the end of this world to you. But all that Hezekiah, if we read on, it says verse 5, verse 6. Behold, I will add unto thee 15 years. And the purpose of God, God did not change. The Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the son of David, was to come through Hezekiah. Hezekiah at this time didn't have any children. But he didn't know. He thought he was a dead man. All he could see is, I'm a dead man. And I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. Now, all Hezekiah could see in himself was death. That's all he could see. I'm dead. The Lord said, I'm going to die, and I've got this disease in me, and I'm going to die. And we read that in his confession in chapter verse 9 through verse 14. But Isaiah said, you're going to live. He said, put figs on that boil and he'll recover. Put figs on that boil and he'll recover. And Hezekiah said, what's the sign that I'll go up in the house of the Lord? And the Lord said, I will make the shadow that has gone down 10 degrees to go back 10 degrees. Now, I want to say something about the signs or the miracles God performs. I was thinking about this, and anything that can happen through the natural course of time, however slightly possible, you know, if we're playing golf, just an example, if you're playing golf and you hit a hole in one, you say that's a one in a million. Well, that's not a miracle. It's a one in a million. It's a slight probability, but it's not a miracle. It's a one in a million. Well, you could add as many zeros as you want behind that. If it's a one in a trillion or a one, and I don't care how many numbers you put behind it, it's still a possibility through the natural course of time that that may happen. But that's not how God does miracles. When God does a miracle, it's against nature, and it is impossible. In the salvation of man's soul, it is an impossibility with man. With man, it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. With God, and all, examine this, and the miracles our Lord Jesus Christ did, they're not a probability to the passage of time that this may happen. This is God intervening against nature, against the forces of nature that he set in place. What he caused the earth to do here was do a backspin. He caused the earth to do a backspin. And think about that for a while. What that means, those that know physics, it's impossible with man. But with God, all things are possible. He's not subject to those laws that he set in place in creation. But even as much power is displayed in the causing the earth to backspin 10 degrees so that the shadow that has already gone down comes back up, even in that, it is still not the force or not the power that is displayed by God when he saves a sinner. God, when he created the heavens and the earth, the stars, it's the work of his fingers. It's handiwork. It's light work. But when he saved the soul of his people, dead in trespasses and sin, that is revealed in the scripture to be the work of the arm of the Lord. He has laid bare his arm. It's the power of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, to cause a holy God to be able to be just and justify a sinner. That's power. That's power. You know, the Lord said to that man, he said, thy sins are forgiven you. And he said, well, what's harder to say? Your sins are forgiven you, or take up your bed and walk? Well, to the people that were here, and they thought, well, it's easier to say thy sins are forgiven you. Nobody can see that. But he said, I want to show you something. I have power to forgive sins on this earth. He said, that you may know. He said to the man, he said, take up your bed and walk. And he took up his bed and walked. The Lord Jesus Christ, He has all power. And what sign do you have? What sign do you have that you will go up to that celestial city? He's raised Him from the dead. He's raised Him from the dead and set it on the throne. There's a man in glory right now. And just as sure as that man is in glory, you also who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, who believe in Him, you shall also be there one day. Now let's read on to verse 7. It said, "This is a sign from the Lord that the Lord will do this thing that He has spoken. Behold, I will bring again the shadow of the degrees which has gone down in the sundial of Ahaz, 10 degrees backward. So the sun returned 10 degrees by the degrees it was gone down." It's just like a matter of fact. So He did it. The Lord said it, and He did it. Now, verse 9. This is the explanation of what Hezekiah was saying in verse 3. "The writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah, when he had been sick and was recovered from his sickness, I said, in the cutting off of my days, I shall go to the gates of the grave. I am deprived of the residue of my years." Hezekiah here saw himself as a dead man. Before the Lord makes alive, He always kills. Before the Lord gives life, He always shows us what we are by nature. He always shows us that we're dead before Him. Saul of Tarsus saw that. Saul of Tarsus, he said this, and Paul said this in Romans 7, verse 9. He said, "For I was alive without the law once." I was alive. "But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died." I died. Now we, a believer and a person whom the Lord saved always sees himself as dead before God gives him life. And this is what Hezekiah said, "I'm a dead man." Isaiah saw this also when he said, when he saw the Lord in His glory, he said, I'm a dead man. I'm a dead man. I'm unclean. When he saw the Lord in His glory in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 6, then said I, "Woe is me. I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell amongst a people of unclean lips. I'm dead." He saw himself as dead before God when he saw the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is when men will see themselves dead. When the gospel is preached and the Lord Jesus Christ is exalted and the Lord is manifested to Him, to His people. When we see the Lord Jesus Christ and who He is, when Christ Jesus is preached and Him crucified, then we see ourselves in the light of His glory. And we say, "Woe is me. Woe is me." He said, I'm a dead man. I said, "I shall not see," verse 11. "I shall not see the Lord, even the Lord in the land of the living." There's no hope for me. There's a painful revelation to man's pride and dignity and his self-esteem. A painful revelation that I'm a dead man. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner before God. But there's even something even more painful than recognizing and knowing our sin. And that's knowing our self-righteousness is as filthy rags. That's rottenness to the bone. That's right. That's pain all the way to the bone. He says, "I said, I shall not see the Lord, even the Lord in the land of the living. I shall behold no man no more with the inhabitants of the world. Mine age is departed and is removed from me as a shepherd's tent. I have cut off like the weaver my life, and He cut me off with a pining sickness. From day even to night wilt thou make an end of me. I reckon to the morning as a lion, so will He break my bones." It's a breaking bone. It's a breaking. It's to the bone. And it's one thing to acknowledge I'm a sinner, but there's another thing to acknowledge that there's no goodness in me. That even my righteousness are as filthy rags. Men will acknowledge that they're sinners, but they have some good in them. But when the Lord Jesus Christ comes and reveals Himself to a person, They acknowledge that they have no goodness. We acknowledge that we have no righteousness of our own. It's a painful thing. But having our, like I said, having our weaknesses and sinfulness is painful in itself. But having our righteousness exposed as filthy rags goes to the bone. Verse 14. Like a crane or a swallow, so did I chatter. I did mourn as a dove. Mine eyes with longing looked upward. I did moan. I did moan. This is the moaning of a person who's made aware of his condition before God. This is the old wretched man that I am. Oh, wretched. You know, Job said, I've heard of thee with the hearing, but now mine eye sees you, and I abhor myself. Oh, wretched man that I am. It's a moaning. But notice this. You see the eye of faith looking upward. And this is the work. This is the work of the law of God when the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ shuts a man up to mercy and grace in Christ Jesus alone. Mercy and grace. If he doesn't save me, I won't be saved. My help can only come from the Lord. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord. I look up. Oh Lord, I am oppressed. I'm heavy. This sin is more than I can bear. Undertake for me. You know what that word undertake is? Be my surety. Be my surety. Oh, that's the cry that gets the ear of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the publican said. Lord, be merciful to me, the sinner. And you know, there's never been a man or a woman who has ever come to the Lord seeking mercy who has been turned away. He is rich in mercy. He delights to show mercy. He delights to show. He said, Lord, undertake, show, be surety for me. Be surety for me. Well, no sooner does a child of God, one who has been chosen of God before the foundation of the world and is made to see his condition by the gospel, no sooner does he come to the Lord that he finds the Lord is right there, ready and willing and able to receive him. No sooner does a man cry out for mercy that he has mercy. No sooner. And then Hezekiah says here in verse 15, he says, What can I say? How can I ever stop praising him? What can I say for his mercy and grace? He that has spoke it to me, he that said it to me, he both has spoken to me, he himself hath done it. He that spoke it to me, he did it. I want to get back to that in a moment. But he says, I shall go softly all my years in the bitterness of my soul. O Lord, by these things men live. Now I'm going to get to the points that I want to consider tonight. And that is this, where this is the message. By what things shall a man live? And this is what Hezekiah is saying here. By these things shall a man live. O Lord, by these things men live. And in all these things is the life of my spirit. Notice he doesn't say the life of my soul. He says the life of my spirit. We have spiritual life through him, his word. By this shall my life and my spirit, so wilt thou recover me and make me to live. I want to go ahead and make these a mention of these things right now. First, what are these things? First thing I want us to notice there is by the word of God. By these things men live. First thing is by the word of God. God spoke. By his word we live. First, his word from before the foundation of the world. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, according as blessed us in Christ Jesus. He has blessed us, or he has spoken all kind of good things about us in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. It's by his word. By his word of promise to Christ before the foundation of the world. So it's by that word of promise. And then not only by the word of promise, but also by the word of creation. By the word of creation, salvation is a new creature, as a new creation. When he comes by a dead man and says, live, and that man lives, that is a new creature created in Christ Jesus. We're new creatures. So it's by the word of promise and by the word of creation or regeneration, he gives us life through the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, being born not of corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood. Being born again by the word, excuse me. I'm quoting it wrong. Let's go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter 23. Being born again, not of corruptible things, but of such as silver and gold. And then also in James. Being born again, not of corruptible seed. Not of being born of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. We're made to live by the word of God through the gospel. It's talking about the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we're made to live before the foundation of the world in the purpose of God by his decree. And we're made to live before God by his creating a new person when the Holy Spirit gives life. And we're made to live when we hear the gospel. No one is ever alive who does not believe the Lord Jesus Christ. A person that believes the Lord Jesus Christ is because God gave him life. God gave him life. And so it's also by the word of revelation, by the word preached. So by his word, we're made to live. He that has said it to me, he himself hath done it. We did not know anything about this life unless the Lord comes and says it to us. He's spoken it to us. He said, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And when you believe, that was a revelation to you. That was a revelation to you. And you think, I've got life. I've got life. I didn't know it, but I have life. It was a revelation. And not only by his word, but also by his power to perform it. Power to perform it. He that has done it, he hath also, he that has said it, he also done it. He did it. He not only said it, but he did it. He has the power to perform it. That's one thing to say something, but when you actually cause it to happen, when you actually cause it to happen, that's power. That takes the power of God to do it. A lot of things I could say that I don't have any power to do it, make it happen. But the Lord, you know, when the Lord said to Abraham, said, Abraham, you're going to have a son. And Sarah's going to bear a child. Sarah's going to bear a child. And you know the story. Abraham thought he was going to have a child with Hagar. And the Lord said, that's not who I'm talking about. That's not it. Sarah is going to bear. And the Lord said this. He revealed himself to Abraham and said, I am God Almighty. I am God Almighty. Now the word God is already Almighty. God is already Almighty. But what he's saying there is he is the one who nurtures. He's the one that gives strength and power to do that which he says to do. I don't have power. The power has to come from him. Lazarus, come forth. Well, Lazarus doesn't have power to come forth.
But he who said, come forth, gave him the power to do so. And so he comes forth. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have the power to believe in yourself. It's against your nature and against your will. But when the Lord speaks, and it's in with power, then you believe. You believe. It's by his power to perform it. Well, not only by his word and by his power, but he says there, by this thing my soul shall live. You've given me peace. Behold, for peace I had great bitterness. Or that should say, could say, behold, my great bitterness is into peace. My great bitterness is turned to peace. For peace, I didn't have peace before. I had bitterness. Now I got peace. How is it that a person has peace with God? We have peace through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has made peace through the cross. And by this my soul lives. I have peace through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. By this shall a man live. Thou hast loved my soul and delivered it from the pit. By this, the great cause of my deliverance is your love to my soul. By your love eternal for my soul. God so loved the world. He's talking about his chosen, his elect, those that God the Father gave him before the foundation of the world. God so loved that world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting love. In love to their souls, and that they may not perish, he bind them up with the Lord Jesus Christ. He bind them up in the bundle of life with the Lord Jesus Christ. And he redeems their soul from sin. The curse of sin, the power of sin, and the presence of sin. In love, it says here, thou hast delivered my soul from the pit of corruption. The pit of my own corruption. He regenerates and renews and converts his people, and he preserves to his everlasting kingdom. He redeems his people by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he may take away their sin. He shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. In love, the reason God sent his Son into the world to give his life was for his great love for the souls of his people. But thou in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. That's talking about not only the Lord Jesus Christ in his sacrifice has put away the sins, but it's talking about the efficacy of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that the sins of his people are cast behind the back of God to where he does not remember them anymore. Thy sins will I remember no more. They're God's back, wherever that is. In the sea of God's forgetfulness. As far as the east is from the west. That's how God saves his people from their sins. He removes the sin of his people from them. By being made a curse, by being made sin for them, that he might take the penalty that was due for our sins and suffer in the place, the room instead of his people. This is how he saved our souls. Thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ has made full satisfaction. Full satisfaction, and there's no remembrance of the sins of his people. By these things my spirit lives. By your word, by your power to perform it, by your love eternal for me, by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that put away my sins. By these things. Now look at verse 18. For the grave cannot praise thee, Death cannot celebrate thee. You know, the Lord said, God is not a God of the dead. He's the God of the living. You know, when some men came to the Lord and was tempting the Lord about, they didn't believe. They didn't believe. They gave the Lord that example of this man that had several, this wife that had several husbands. The brothers had all died. And they said, well, and whose wife are you going to be? And the Lord said, you do err. Not knowing the power of God, not knowing the word of God. He said, God is not the God of the dead. Have you never read, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Where were Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob then? They had already been put in the ground. But yet the Lord said, he did not say, I was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He said, I am. God is not the God of the dead. He's the God of the living. And the living are going to praise him. This is the purpose for which God has saved his people. That we may sing his praises throughout all eternity. The praise of the glory of his grace. That's what God is getting glory to his name. And saving poor wretched sinners as me. For the grave cannot praise thee, and none in hell are praising him. Death cannot celebrate thee. They that go down into the pit cannot hope for thy truth. The living, he shall praise thee, as do I this day. Can you say this day, I thank the Lord, I praise the Lord? There's that song, oh, how I love them, Savior and friend, how can my praises ever find end through years unnumbered? My tongue shall praise him forevermore. We sang that song also at the beginning. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. This will be our eternal song of praise and thanksgiving to the Lord for his mercy, his goodness, his love, for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to put away our sins. Verse 20 says, the Lord was ready to save me. He was ready. He's willing and he's able. He's a ready and willing able, an able Savior for sinners. And it's no sooner did Hezekiah cry out and said, Lord, remember me. Be surety for me. My soul is oppressed. The Lord Jesus Christ said this, come unto me. All ye that are labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Are you conscious of your sin before God? Has the Lord Holy Spirit made you to know you're a sinner? Well, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. And I thank God for that. Because he came to save sinners. And he's going to have every one of them. May the Lord bless you.